Welcome to Clippings, the official podcast of the Council for Nail Disorders, where Drs. April Schachtel and Catherine Stiff take a closer look at articles and clippings published on all things nail disease. Listeners can suggest articles for this podcast or topics of discussion by sending an email to kristen.cnd@gmail.com. Thank you for listening.
Hello, and welcome to episode 40 of the Clippings podcast, where we review nail papers and share them with you. I'm April Schachtel.
And I'm Catherine Stiff.
Catherine, I'll be sharing with you an article today from several beloved CND members. The title is Prosthetic Resin Nail Improves Quality of Life in Patients with Retronychia in a Single Center Clinical Trial. The authors are Kaya Curtis, Jose Ricardo, Bilal Sheikh, Tracy Vlahovic, and Sherry Lipner. It's currently in press in the Journal of American Academy of Dermatology. This article covers a treatment option for retronychia, which is an inflammatory condition with arrested nail growth and nail plate ingrowing into the proximal nail fold. Prior studies have confirmed that this causes pain and affects quality of life, but therapeutic treatment options are somewhat limited and often unsatisfactory. Nail avulsion is thought of as the most definitive treatment, but it did not resolve the problem in 66% of patients in a prior retrospective study of 25 patients. These authors studied a treatment that aims to provide camouflage for the retronychia, similar to hair pieces for alopecia or camouflage makeup for vitiligo. They enrolled patients who were over 18 with retronychia affecting one or both of their great toenails in a single center prospective study. They measured a baseline nail quality of life score, and then the affected nail was treated by drilling it, bonding it, and resin and sealing agents were applied, and then the resin was cured with an ultraviolet light. The prosthetic resin nail was removed after 6 to 8 weeks, and repeat nail quality of life scores were assessed. 15 patients completed their study with a mean age of 50. 73% of them reported baseline disappointment with prior treatments, which included clobetasol, urea, and nail avulsion. 80% reported feeling that their nail was unsightly. 87% were upset by it, and 73% reported inability to wear their preferred shoes. The mean social, emotional, and symptom domain quality of life scores improved by 45, 35, and 37 points respectively, all of which were statistically significant. 87% of patients reported improved nail appearance. The same number reported no longer feeling a need to hide their nails, and 73% of the patients planned a repeat application. In three of the patients, this was really interesting, a new gap between the proximal nail fold and the resin nail developed, which actually indicates that there was some new nail growth and suggests that this actually could be a treatment for the retronychia in addition to a camouflage. This was thought to be because of the nail was drilled, so it was significantly thinned out and subject to less trauma from footwear. One patient who was an avid swimmer did develop pseudomonal colonization 7 weeks after the initial resin application, and there were otherwise no adverse events. The authors did report that contact dermatitis is a theoretical concern, but it wasn't seen in this study. Looked at the website of CariFlex, which is a brand that provides the service that was described in this paper, and I wasn't able to find the specific ingredients of the resin. The website describes that it's derived from a medical-grade dental resin and impregnated with an antifungal ingredient called pyroctone and antimicrobial colloidal silver. So I would suspect that this is an acrylate-based treatment, so one should keep that in mind for patients who have acrylate allergies. I'd encourage you to look at the images in this paper, which show a really good improvement in the nail appearance. I truly think this could be a great option for patients who are really frustrated with dealing with their retronychia for a long time without improvement. Patients need to understand that this is a treatment they have to repeat periodically. They do need to have some nail present for the resin to bind to. The resin will bind to nail, but not to skin. And they also need to understand, you know, overall the limitations of this treatment. But I think it's a great tool to have.
Yeah, the photos are really impressive. It's nice to have more options.
Absolutely. Okay, Catherine, tell us what you read about.
This month, I'll discuss the article Treatment of Malignant Onychopapilloma with Mohs Micrographic Surgery, a Novel Approach to a Newly Described Nail Unit Neoplasm by doctors Dylan Haynes, Adam Rubin, and William Higgins, e-published in the Journal of Dermatologic Surgery on February 21st, 2024. Malignant onychopapilloma is a rare nail unit neoplasm. In fact, this was the first time that I was aware of it. It was first described by doctors Haneke et al. In 2021. This case report describes the novel use of Mohs micrographic surgery for the treatment of this rare condition. The case is of a 71-year-old man who presented with a 2-year history of an asymptomatic lesion on his left middle finger. Examination showed a 2 millimeter wide longitudinal streak of xanthonychia extending from the nail plate to the proximal nail fold. An excisional biopsy was performed, which revealed a malignant onychopapilloma characterized by cellular atypia, matrix metaplasia, and increased Ki-67 labeling of the affected epithelium. Mohs micrographic surgery was performed to treat the tumor. A T-ring tourniquet was used and a distal digital nerve block performed. The proximal nail fold was incised and retracted proximally. Mohs excision with a 1 millimeter margin was performed of the nail matrix and bed extending to the hyponychium. Complete tumor extirpation was achieved after one stage, with margins evaluated by both frozen H&E and Ki-67 immunostain. A linear closure of the proximal nail fold was performed, and the nail bed healed with second intention. The patient is 9 months post-op without recurrence. So now we have another tumor to add to the list of nail unit malignancies that can be successfully managed with Mohs. The authors note that there is significant histologic overlap with a benign onychopapilloma, so the use of the Ki-67 immunostain on frozen sections was helpful with margin determination. In addition, for optimal tissue evaluation, relaxing incisions may be needed. As I said, I was not previously aware of the malignant form of onychopapilloma. That is always scary, but if you have a patient with a clinical suspicion for onychopapilloma, but the lesion is changing or painful, maybe encourage them to have an excisional biopsy as opposed to just monitoring.
Agree. I think this study also shows how important this relationship between the person doing the nail biopsy and the pathologist and the surgeon who's doing the Mohs are, because everyone really needs to be on the same page to understand, where this tumor is and then those fine details about, like, the Ki-67, for example. All right, thank you for joining me on this episode of Clippings. I want to thank our listeners for their attention. Please share this podcast with your colleagues and trainees and let us know how we're doing and which articles you'd like us to review by contacting kristen.cnd@gmail.com or find us on Instagram at naildisorders.